Well, good morning, folks. It's good to have everybody out. I'm glad to see this many people out on a nice snowy Sunday like this. We got some good visitors here, and I appreciate that. And a lot of them just like family to us, so we appreciate that. Glad to see them this morning. But we're still in 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. I say we're still in 1 John chapter 4. We just start in chapter 4 today. But we've covered a whole lot just in this little book. I was looking back this morning and looking, I've spent well over a year here, and I don't mean to do that. I really don't. But at the same time, I like, if you notice, we don't just stay in 1 John. We look at 1 John, then we compare it to all the rest of what the Word of God has to say, and do our best. That's the only way I know how to do it. And so I appreciate that, and I appreciate the Lord's help. He's helped us.
Yes, sir.
You know, when I started this a few years ago, I thought, Lord, there's no way I can do that every Sunday, day in and day out, or every weekend, week out. Here we are years later, and the Lord's still faithful and still helps. And He helps in spite of me. I can't do it on my own, but the Lord does help, and I appreciate that. Brother Tracy, I mean, where would we be without the Lord? But I appreciate Him. And so we'll start the reading in chapter 4, verse 1. The Bible says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. And so we start here in verse number 1, and the Bible says, Beloved, believe not every spirit. And when it's talking about spirits, I hope you understand that it's talking about anything that any person that professes things about the Word of God, anything around the things of God or evil, it can be anything like that. It's not just talking about one specific thing,
right?
But anything. I mean, there can be spirits that are sent out through song, through the computer, through Facebook. I mean, all these different things. Spirits are seen in all these different ways.
Sure.
But and every one of us have a spirit within us, right? And hopefully we have the spirit with a big S within us as well. But we all have our own spirit, and the Bible says that our spirits bear witness with His spirit that we are the sons of God. But we all have a spirit. And the problem is with our spirits is our spirits are not always where they need to be. And you take somebody with a little S spirit in them that don't have the big S spirit in them, then you may have some real problems. And so the Bible says for us not to believe everything we hear and see. So just because somebody claims to be a preacher or a teacher or claims to be associated with the gospel, that doesn't mean that you just jump right in and say, I'm for it. We can't do that. We can't get right in and help every ministry that claims to be a ministry.
True.
And does that mean that we be mean about those things? No. Give you an example. I had a fella that stopped me out in Clark Range one day at the store, and he was standing there, and they were, and him and another fellow were there, and they were both recovering addicts. Both of them claimed to be born again, and I'm thankful for that.
Sure.
But when I started asking them, Brother Tracy, about the church they were affiliated with, man, the conversation really slowed down because they couldn't really tell me a good answer. Didn't want to really tell me, Brother Shannon, what they believed and what they taught and what they preached,
right.
What Bible they used. I mean, it was all those different things. And you start going down those lists, things. And I said, fellas, I appreciate your desire to do something that's right. I said, but I can't get behind you. I said, I'll pray for you, but I can't get behind your ministry because I just don't have, my spirit just don't give me the liberty to do that. Because I don't know that I can trust what you're doing.
Sure.
I said, the important thing is you got to make sure that your message is not recovering addicts, but it's getting people to Jesus.
Yeah.
And I said, and then we can deal with the other parts. But, you know, I appreciated what they were doing, Dustin, and they had a good cause. But sometimes the little S spirit can get in the way of the big S. And when we do that, sometimes it's just wrong, Jesse. And I'm not saying what they were doing was wrong. I'm not saying that, but I wasn't comfortable with it. And I try to be mindful in those situations to, if I'm not really comfortable and sure about something, I probably ain't going to get behind it.
Right.
I just can't. Right, and I think that's what the Scripture's teaching us here. He says, try every spirit. And we just got to be very careful. But try the spirits whether they are of God. And so that word try means to examine them, to prove them. That doesn't mean to just give it a whirl.
Right.
You know, we say, go try it. That means give it a whirl. That's not what the Bible's talking about. It's saying examine it, prove it. Make sure that it is what it claims to be.
Right.
And so just be careful how you jump right into things. And it's easy as a young Christian, you know, a lot of young believers, they have a zeal. And it's a zeal that's not according to knowledge.
Right.
And this wisdom and this examining of the spirits does not come straight for a newborn babe in Christ. It's not easy. It only comes with some time and experience with the Holy Ghost and the Scripture. And so so how do we examine these spirits to see whether they are of God? That's the big question, right? Well, a new believer, they got to be real careful because they don't have a lot of knowledge on the inside that they can use in those situations. They do have the indwelling Holy Spirit, and I'm thankful for the times in my life that the Holy Spirit, even though I didn't know better, John, the Holy Spirit said, you just need to stay away from that. And God does that. He indwells you and makes such a change that even when you can't pick out a scripture for something, the Holy Ghost can come by and say, hey, you don't understand this right now, but you know you need to stay away from it. And that's the work of the Lord on the inside of the believer. But somebody that's not saved does not have that. But for us that have been saved a while, I mean, people like me going on 30 years in this thing, we ought to know better than some things.
Right.
And we ought to be able to listen and hear what a spirit is saying. Now, when we say that spirit, just understand, we're not talking about ghosts and all those things, not haunting things. Although, if you get around some of this, it will haunt you. But that's not what I'm talking about. But folks, it's just, we ought to know. And if you've been on this way for 30 years and you still can't discern,
there's
a problem.
Right.
And that comes because you've not spent time in this book. So over in one of my favorite examples of this, over in Acts chapter 17, Paul and Silas are come over here to this little place called Berea. Acts chapter 17, verse number 10. I'll let y'all get there. This is very important that you understand what's happening in this passage. The Bible says in verse number 10, it says, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. It says, therefore many of them believed also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men not a few. And you say, well, that doesn't say nothing about Paul or Silas preaching. Well, if you go on down to verse 13, it says, but when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul in Berea. The Bible tells us what was going on.
Yep.
So Paul and Silas went into the synagogues, and what they began to do was start teaching and preaching the word of God. And guess what these Bereans did?
Yeah,
they received the word, how? With all readiness of mind. So that means they were ready to hear what they had to say.
Right.
They didn't close their ears to everything.
Right.
even though what they were hearing was new.
Right.
You understand, this was new doctrine that probably these folks hadn't been made accustomed to.
Yep.
Nothing wrong when Brother Kevin stood up and said that the waters were congealed the other day. Some of you closed your ears and thought, I'm not listening no more. This is craziness.
Praise God.
But if you read your Bibles,
Guess
what you find?
Oh,
the Bible says that those depths of the sea, they were congealed. That's what the Bible says. So you think he's crazy, you just think I'm crazy too. That's what it says. So that's just the Word of God. But that's what these Bereans, what they did was they opened their ears and they listened and they compared the knowledge that they already had from the Word of God. And then the things that maybe they didn't understand, it says they searched the Scriptures daily, whether those things were so. So there's going to be times that things are going to be preached even out of this pulpit.
Yep.
Brother Kevin has been on this way a long time. Guess what? He's going to know more than a lot of us do. And that's a good thing. Not a bad thing. And when he preaches something that sounds new to you, or even me or Dustin or whoever's up here, we say something that's different than what you're used to or what you've learned before, maybe what your tradition has taught you before.
Right.
You know what we do? We don't immediately, Aaron, run to what our tradition said all those years in the past.
Come on.
But what we do is we go and say, well, this fella here, these fellas that claim to be in the Scriptures, they say the Bible says this. And so you know what I'm going to do?
Yep.
I'm going to go make sure that it really says that.
Yes.
I'm not going to dive right in and say we agree with this. But I'll tell you what you better do. If it does say that, you better understand that God has turned some light on for you.
Yep.
And you better step into that light.
Yes.
It's a real dangerous thing when God gives you something from Him. And He makes it clear through the Holy Ghost and through the Scriptures that is right, Chris. But yet you say, that's not the way I was taught. I'm not messing with that. I don't care what you believe. I don't care what the Bible says.
Yep, heard it. Many times.
That's normal talk of people that claim to be Christians. They'll say, I don't care what you have to say. Don't matter. This is what I believe. I can't tell you why, but this is what I'm going to keep believing because Mommy and Daddy, Grandpa and Grandma, my preacher taught me this from the time I was two. You just got to be careful if you're a Christian falling into that mentality of I'm right and everybody's wrong.
Yes.
Because you know what I've learned over time, Aaron, in this thing? I've been wrong a lot more times than I care to admit. And sometimes for years. Sometimes for years about the doctrines of Scripture. You don't learn it in a day. And I'll venture to say that you will not learn it. You stay here for 50 years and you come here one day a week. You're not going to learn what this Bible says. It just don't work that way. So how are you going to get it? You search the Scriptures daily.
Yes.
That's all I know how to tell you. You say, well, that don't sound fun. Well,
it is.
When you get into it and you start liking it, it gets fun. But it takes time. And it takes, and you may start reading, and some of you may have never read your Bible. But you pick that thing up and start reading it, and you get it over there in 1 Chronicles in some spots, and you get over there in say, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You start reading through some of that. Man, it's tough. I'll be honest, Shannon, it's tough reading. I'm not going to stand here and say that that's easy stuff to read. It's not that you can't read the words, Kevin. It is on a low level to read. But when you've never taught and been had the background, it's hard to put all that in its place and understand who it's to and who it's for. And we'll get to this here in a little bit. We've got some gifts to the church that are helping us with these things. But Acts chapter 17 here is something we just need to commit to your heart that we've looked at. These people search the Scriptures daily.
Yep.
And you and I should do the same thing. If it worked for them, guess what it'll do for us? It'll work for us too. It'll work for us. 2 Timothy 2:15, hopefully you know it. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Have you ever had somebody come up to you with a Bible question and they say, here's what I think. What do you think? And ever have to hang your head because you have no idea what you think? And here's the thing. We tell our son this all the time, Eli. If you know Eli, he's always got an answer. Don't matter if it's the right one or not, he's going to give you an answer. You ask him something, and whether he knows the right answer or not, he don't want you to know that he don't know, and he's probably going to spout something off. And his mind works different than yours and mine. And that's something that we have to deal with him. He's young. He's got a zeal, but it's not always according to knowledge. And, you know, sometimes we try to teach them, guys, it's okay. You're young. It's okay to just say, I don't know.
Yep.
I don't know. But I'll get back to you on that. Jeez. Shannon, we don't just leave it as I don't know. See, a lot of people are content to have something presented to them, and they're content to say, I don't know.
Right.
And they never pick their Bible up to find an answer. And it should never be okay for us to just, I don't know, and then not look for the answer. That's a problem. That'll hinder your testimony with people. It will. And just folks, it's very important. And look with me in the book of Ephesians. This stuff is so important. We run into so many people that claim to be Christians and they say they don't need the church. And they think, I can just have church at home on my couch watching TV. I watch it on Facebook and all those things. But according to the Scripture, I believe that they're missing out on so much that God has to offer.
Yep.
For the church. I mean, we obviously know that the book of Hebrews teaches us that we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, right? And so much the more as we see the day approaching, we're supposed to edify one another, all that. That's something we're supposed to do, we know that. But why is that so important? Why is it important? Why is it important for us to be here, Shannon? Why is it for us to be with the saints? Why is it important for us to hear the teaching, hear the preaching, sing the songs? What's the purpose of it? I understand that God commanded it, but He didn't command it for no reason. There's a reason. And when somebody asks you, well, why should I come? Don't just quote them Hebrews and say, well, God said you're supposed to come. Now, that answer should be good enough.
Sure.
Don't get me wrong. That should be good enough. But we should be able to go into a little more detail and say it's not just that God commanded it, but He loves you so much that He's got something there that you can't get at your house.
Right.
And the book of Ephesians lets us in on that. If you look down here in verse number 11, it's talking about gifts that God left for His people. It says, and He gave some apostles. So chapter 4, verse 11 in Ephesians, it says, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Those are gifts to the church. He gave specific gifts to men, but the gifts were not for that man. That gift is to be used for a purpose.
Right.
And the Bible goes on to say in verse number 12, for the what? Perfecting of the saints. What does that mean? That means our maturity, our growth. We need those gifts that God has given to the church for the perfecting, the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, that means the building up, uplifting of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. That means one day we're going to get where we're supposed to be, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro. In other words, not just every which way, carried about with every wind of doctrine In other words, every time you hear something different, you go chase that a while and then go chase this a while. It says, by the sleight of men. You know what sleight means? You've heard the term sleight of hand? That's trickery. That's something to confuse you and mess you up. By the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, the church, that is, the church, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. In other words, we need everybody, every person, every piece. Kevin preached on this a while back. Every joint supply, according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You reckon it's important for us to gather together and be together?
Oh, yeah.
The Bible makes it real clear right here in this passage how important it is for us to gather and gain from the gifts that God has given to different people. You and I need each other.
Right.
And if we're going to be out there, we better be in here.
Yep.
We better be in here getting what we need from the Word of God. God puts people in places to help you and me. God didn't call Kevin to preach just to preach. It's not just, we look at this thing as though oftentimes that God's gift to Kevin for preaching. God called him to preach. Some of these other preachers that are here, Brother Shannon, Brother Dustin, all these others that are here, like God called them and that's just something special for them. It's not for them.
Oh, how that works,
right.
Now, they will receive a special reward if they're obedient to do what God's called them to do. But God gave to them so that He can give it to us.
Right.
They're just the... They're just a channel that God is going through to give the gifts to you and I that He's given through them. And it's all because of Christ. He that ascended, same one that descended, gave gifts unto men. That's what it's talking about. But that gift is not just for them. It's for the church. And when we start looking at it that way, man, we quit looking at, man, this preacher, or this teacher, or this one. That stuff don't matter no more. We care about the gift that comes from God that's channeled through them people. And man, that's for me. And that's for you.
Thank God.
Don't ever look at it like God has given them something special that you don't have. He just chose to use them to get it to you. That's what it's about. Just think about that. And I'm not trying to downplay y'all's calling. Don't ever think that. That's a special high calling, man. Lovely are the feet of them that bring good news, glad tidings. All those things. Folks, it's a high calling. And it is a calling. And I appreciate that calling. And they're special. And they're worthy of double honor. But understand that God chose that. God chose the foolishness of preaching to do what? To save them that would believe. There's a purpose in it. So, I didn't mean to say all that. But why is this stuff so important? The Bible tells us here, back in 1 John, let me get back over there, I've lost my spot here. 1 John chapter 4, the latter part of the verse, why is this stuff so important? Why is it so important that we have these things to try the Spirit? Why? Or all the spirits? It's because many false prophets are gone into the world. It doesn't say few. You notice that? Many. That means there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them. And I'm afraid there's more false ones than there are true ones. And so every church is not part of the church. Now, I hope that Amazing Grace Baptist and the First Free Will Baptist of Livingston and all the other churches that are represented here today, the people in those churches are part of the church. But there's some that are not.
That's right. That's the truth.
Some that are not. And we've just got to be careful and we've got to pay attention to what's going out of those pulpits, the things that are being sung and the things that are being taught and the ministries that are being performed out of those places. Because not all of it's of God. And why is Christianity so mixed up today? Why are there so many different beliefs? Where does that come from? We got the same Bible?
Right.
Well, we hope to have the same Bible. Some people don't. Obviously, they should have. But I mean, this is the answer. You've got a bunch of people that didn't have any discernment nor the ability to try the spirits.
That's right.
See, that's how you stay out of false doctrine. You're able to try the spirits. And it's not that it's anything of you. It's the things that God has given us to use to be able to do that. And the sad part about it is most professing believers, I'm going to say most of them, are clueless. Clueless. They've never picked this up. Never read it.
Amen.
They don't have a clue they don't have a clue what their preacher is saying. They don't know if he's right, if he's wrong, and don't seem to care. They just go on with it because they like the lights, they like the smoke, they like the music, they like the fellowship, they like the coffee and the donuts and all the stuff that goes in with that. Nothing wrong with coffee and donuts. Unless you have too much of it. But regardless, you understand that it's a dangerous thing.
Yes.
And we've got to pay attention. And this is the answer. They don't know how because they've never spent time in the Word of God. And they refuse to listen to the Holy Ghost that's in them if they're born again. If they're born again. And the thing is that we cannot escape this confusion that occurs through these spirits if we neglect God's gifts to the church.
Right.
Somebody sitting at home neglecting the church, you just might as well write it down. They're not going to do things right.
That's right.
They're not going to believe right. They're not going to do right. It will not work.
Guaranteed.
I don't know that I've ever seen one.
Guaranteed.
And I've been to a lot of doors, locked on a lot of them. Oh yeah, I'm saved. But then you ask them what they did last night and you probably don't want to know. You ask them what they believe and you probably really don't want to know.
Bullseye.
You ask them about their testimony, you probably really don't want to know. Why? They got a hold of the wrong little S spirit.
Yep.
Somewhere down the line.
Yep.
And that's just so dangerous today. But folks, you cannot have good discernment without having some knowledge and time in these scriptures.
Amen.
And if there's a way other than that, I don't know it. This is the only way this is how, I'm not saying we've got everything right in my family, but Shannon, this is the only way I know how to make important decisions in my life. It's the only way.
That's it.
I'm not saying all my decisions are right because there's still things I don't know. Probably still things that I'm rebelling on that I'm not just sure that I'm rebelling yet. That God's trying to help me through.
Yep.
But He's going to get me there one of these days. I'm going to be like Him one day. But until I get there, all I know to do is pick this up daily, read it to my family, and try to ask God to help me to understand how I'm supposed to apply it in my life and how to guard me and my family against the things that we don't need to be involved in. That's all I know to do.
Yep.
And I depend on my pastor to help me with that. I do. That's why I come. I like to hear it. Brother Delmer, I loved that preaching that you did the other day.
Me too.
Well, what a warning.
Yeah.
What a sounding going out. We need that. We need his generation.
Yeah.
We need this generation.
Yep.
Folks, we've got to have it. It's needful, and don't ever forget they're a gift to the church. But this stuff only comes through time in the Scripture, through the work of the Holy Ghost. Never forget John 16:13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. You listen to Him, never go wrong. You just got to make sure you try the spirits to make sure you listen to the right one.
That's right.
That's the key. And as long as you make sure that it's the right one, you follow Him, never go wrong. He'll lead you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Mm-hmm. Now, I understand that in that scripture, the Holy Spirit's going to teach those apostles the future. They're going to get some insight on prophecy. But that applies to me and you too.
Right.
There's been some times that I've about made decisions, Dustin, and the Holy Spirit comes by and says, here's some things that are to come if you make that decision. Or if you don't make that decision. Here's what's going to happen. You say, are you a prophet? No. Nor the son of a prophet.
Nope.
But I believe my Bible.
Me too.
And I like the Holy Ghost. And I like it when he comes by and says, you need to not do that. And you need to do that.
Yes.
And I try to listen to him, and I don't always do a good job of it. But I try to. And I appreciate that God didn't just leave us without help. He's our helper. Yep. He's our comfort. He's what you and I have to have in this thing to live the Christian life.
Yes.
We don't live it of ourselves. You can't live it in the flesh. The Bible's plain about that. We read that a week or two ago, Book of Romans. Man, we can't please him in the flesh.
That's right.
We can't do it.
Can't happen.
Just don't work. We got to walk in the Spirit. And we need him to try the spirits. We need to make sure we're following him. So where are we at on time? Does anybody know? Kelsey, help me. 10:36. All right. Well, we'll move on then. So I hope you understand the importance of trying the spirits, folks. There'll be things presented to you, and we've got some younger ones here, some teenagers and some 20-year-olds, 25-year-olds. I'd like to go back to the time I was my late teens and 20s and do some things different.
Yeah, me too.
I'd like to spend some more time in this book, for one.
Sure.
Because it would have saved me from some difficulty. You learn as you get older and depend on the Lord. He shows you some of the mistakes that you made. And it's funny how he works that thing so that you can appreciate him more. You ever wish, how many of you remember those times before you had kids? You ever wish that, man, instead of spending all my time having fun, I wish I'd have spent some of that quiet time that I had then. Spend it a little more time in the Scripture so I'd know now how to raise my family better, mm-hmm. instead of having to play catch up now. You're never ready to have kids, are you?
Go ahead.
But the Lord still helps us regardless.
Praise the Lord.
And I'm thankful for it. I want to move on, but I don't think I'm going to be able to today. But I hope this helps you today.
Yeah.
It's real important that we learn how to be discerning Christians.
Yes.
Out in this world. I don't know how to, I can't beat that into you anymore. And that only comes through time in this book. And it's a struggle that everything out here in the world today is pulling away from God.
You're right.
Everything. Your flesh does not desire this.
Right.
And so everything in your flesh says, you don't need that today. Do this instead. Go do this. But if you're saved, there's a desire in your heart to be drawn to the things of God. The Holy Ghost is saying, go read that book. Spend time in prayer. Do these things and it'll help you. And the only way you make your spiritual man stronger than your flesh is to feed your spiritual man more than your flesh.
Yes.
And that takes time. And it takes effort. There was a time we had babies and they didn't feed themselves, did they? You had to make sure you took care of them. And some of us are babies.
Yep.
And hope some of us ain't.
Yep.
But some of us that ain't ought to be willing to step in and help feed some of these that still are.
Yep.
And teach them. and help them so that when time comes they need to try the spirits, that they can do it. And do it based on what this Bible tells them. So I'm done early, but I'm going to just go ahead and quit there for the day. I appreciate everybody's good attention. I hope the Lord helped you in some way and encouraged your heart. And for those of us that want to pray, there's going to be a prayer room.